This Christmas, we have been talking about, we're in this series called The Grinch, and talking about enlarging our hearts. We began a few weeks ago, and we first talked about having a pure heart, and then last week we talked about having a passionate heart, and today I want us to talk about how to have a patient heart. Probably most of us this morning, including myself, probably can start off and says, probably don't have too patient of a heart. Catch ourselves doing all types of things, and it's hard to stay patient. We probably could, all of us probably could be a part of a support group about having to be more patient, and the first thing they say is, please wait out in the foyer, and then we're going, oh, do we have to wait for that? But we're patient, we're not normally patient people. There's a lot of things here in San Antonio that we can be impatient about, isn't there? I mean, it's Christmas time. Glenn and I were out at the mall yesterday, which was a mistake. As we turned into the parking lot, I mean, you couldn't even get to the mall itself, and we were trying to get to the sale at this store that was closing, and it took us maybe 15, 20 minutes to cross a parking lot. And then you see all types of people who were impatient because there was a fender bender here, a person over here, a person decided they're going to whip around the line, and then people mad at them. We get in there, I'm trying to let a car in, the car behind me is honking their horn at me because we're impatient. There's lots of things to be impatient about. There's traffic and the long lines in traffic and people, oh, please, will you go? And then the people that are in the intersection, why do they block the intersection? Because I need to go. I have green light, but they're in the middle of the intersection. We're impatient about that. How about trying to catch a taxi in the rain or a bus in the rain? Those things make us impatient. We could be downtown and there's tourists and how they're walking, and you're someplace you need to be, and you're trying to get by them, but they're walking slowly because they're looking at all the sights. It makes us impatient. What else makes us impatient? There's all types of things. You know, you could be in a line at Starbucks to try to get a cup of coffee, and there you're standing, and you're waiting patiently to place your order. They're pretty quick about placing your order. And then there's a person in front of you that forgets that they have to pay. And so they're digging in their purse for the money, like they didn't remember they need to pay when they get up there to the cash register. They start looking for their money, and you're sitting back, you know, I got to go, you know. And then you finally, your coffee comes. It makes us impatient. There's all types of issues in our lives that makes us impatient. I want us to look again at the scripture we've been looking through this series, and it's found over in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. And the first that we've been looking at is this one. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. Remember, when we first started this, we circled that word heart because we're talking about that heart. And you remember when we were talking about heart, you remember that during this time when this psalm, this proverb here was written, they didn't understand heart the way that we understand heart today. It wasn't this thing that pumped the blood through our bodies, but it was everything they were. It was their soul. It was their being. It was the center of everything they were. It was their emotions. It was all set there. Their will, their mind, everything was looked at around the heart. It meant who you are and who you were. But today, I want us to look at a different word. And that word is that word in that scripture that says guard. Because this verse says that we should guard your heart. You know, the word guard, as you might imagine, brings up all types of mental pictures. When we think of a guard, we think of someone that stands guard and protects and maybe is at a prison or at a bank, and they stand there and they guard to try to prevent something from happening. During this time, when they were thinking about guards, it's about the same thing, but they would stand at the gate of the city. And it was really important that they stood there and they were vigilant and they would not allow anything to happen. And it was important that they would let people know if there was danger coming so they could close the gates and they could warn the people. It was very important. And the scriptures tells us that we need to guard our hearts. In other words, we should develop a heart of patience and keep your temper out or keep your temper under control, to control it, just like a good guard would try to protect the city. And the issue of patience and developing this patience is certainly something that we all need, and we all need to get control over. And we need not to lose our patience. Someone has said it's better to be patient than to become a patient. The series we're talking about here is about the Grinch. And in that story, the Grinch did not like Christmas. And he hated Christmas. And he hated the Who's in Whoville. That they enjoyed Christmas so much. And they gave gifts and all those things. And he wanted to destroy it. And a lot of times in our lives, you know, what is meant when somebody says, you're being a Grinch? You know, they're saying that you don't like Christmas and that you're mean and you're not joyous at this time of year. And I think what we're looking at here today as we look at the Grinch is that we don't want to be Grinches. And we don't want to be this impatient person that is angry and mad. And we don't want our neighbors to look at us and say, that person is a Grinch. And how do we develop this patient heart this morning is what we want to look at. Maybe we need a little bit of spiritual surgery today so that we can each enlarge in our hearts. A good verse for all of us to memorize here today is one that we've talked about this year more than once, and that is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And that, you know, we recognize that as the scripture that we have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we think about the Ten Commandments, and almost everyone knows about the Ten Commandments. And we see here that Paul mentions to the Galatians these virtues that we need to have in our life because the Spirit is residing within us. And that Spirit says that we should have this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when you read that list, you may say, well, that's a good list. And those are things that maybe I should have in my life. And God could develop those things in my life. He can develop love in my heart. And he can give us faithfulness in my heart and goodness and self-control. But isn't it interesting that in God's top 9 virtues that he wants to develop in your life, there's the word patience. God wants us to learn to be patient. St. Augustine said this: patience is the companion of wisdom. Rousseau said that patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. Ben Franklin said, he that can have patience can have what he will. And then there's a famous author who goes by Anonymous. And this is what he said: patience is a virtue, possessed if you can, seldom found in a woman, and never found in a man. We can see why probably he wanted to be anonymous. The issue of patience, or as I've read in this biography of Leonardo da Vinci, not the fictional book, no, the Da Vinci Code, but in his biography, he said, patience serves as protection against wrong as clothes do against cold. For if we put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. Patience is important. So in like manner, we must grow in patience and meet the great wrongs that happen in our life. And they will be powerless in our minds. Now, that quote by Da Vinci was well worth remembering. Patience, what does it mean to have a patient heart? Today, from the Christian's perspective, I'm going to give you some thoughts about how to have a patient heart. And I want to show you 4 unexpected ways that God uses to develop patience in our very hearts. So first, let's start off with a definition of patience. What is a patient heart? And is a patient heart is simply trusting God's timing. Trusting God's timing. See, this is a tough issue. Trusting God's timing. I know a lot of us, there are things that we want in our lives. There's things that we need to get accomplished in our lives. And a lot of times, we don't want to be patient about that. We want what we want, and we want it when we want it. And it's hard to be patient. And there's times in our lives where it's hard, and we need to have this patient heart. You see, it is in those moments of trusting that our faith comes out in full force when we're going through these trials and these troubles in our lives and not getting the things that we want. We want something and we know we want it, but sometimes we need to be patient. God says, I'm going to use these periods in your life to help you grow and help you to become a better person. So I want us to look in James chapter 1, verse 3. I put it up here on the board for you. I love what James says. He says, you know that under pressure, your faith, life, is forced into the open and shows its true colors. How true it is. You see, when you're going through these times of testing, when we go through these hard times of life, and those things are, we want those things to go away, and we don't want them, but it's during these times that who we really are comes to the surface. And what we really are like on the inside comes to the surface. So we need to enlarge in our hearts. So what comes to the surface is things that God wants from us and what God desires from us. God teaches us that we need to trust Him and depend upon Him. So He's enlarging your heart and He's teaching you to be patient. So here's number one, growing in your faith. The first time your faith is forced out in the open because of some pressure that's come into your life, some trial that's come into your life. You see, as a Christian, we are called to remain, we are not called to remain baby Christians, but we are to grow. We are to mature in our lives. We need to develop. And how have you noticed that once you make a decision to grow in your faith, that you want to say, we challenged you last week to read your Bible every day. And once you decide to do that, that maybe the first day it's easy, but about the second day or the third day, it's just not coming that easy because there's things that happen in our lives and things that we need to get done. And it's Christmas time and there's places we need to go. And then it gets harder. And then we get frustrated at ourselves and says, why can't we do this? Why hasn't this come? Why can't I keep this? God, why haven't I just become this mature Christian all of a sudden? Because I want to do this. I have a desire to do this, but I'm just not able to do this. Other things come up. See, you're doing good for a while, but then other things come up. James again gives us good advice in verse 4 of that first chapter. He says, don't try to get out of everything prematurely, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. See, we need not get impatient in our maturity and as we grow, because it takes time. Almost everything in life takes time. We understand that the very basics of life, that it takes time. For example, we look at a baby. When a baby is going to be born, it takes time. There's typically 9 months, and then if it's a premature child, a lot of times they'll have to stay in the hospital and so it can develop. And so it gets. So generally, it takes 9 months for a baby to be born. So I decided to look and see what other, you know, if we look at the animal kingdom, how long is this other animals, you know, when we're looking at births? And so I found some that took longer than 9 months. I found that the reindeer, since this is Christmas time, it actually takes about 13 months from conception to the baby reindeer to be born. And then we look at the camel. It's the longest of all because it takes over 13 months for it to go from embryo to a fully born camel. But there's also some that are much shorter than those and shorter than a human. For example, a pig only takes 4 months. A dog and a cat, they're about the same. It only takes 2 months. And the kangaroo, it only takes 40 days. And Glenda, this one's for you. A rat only takes 21 days. So here's the thing. The next time we get impatient with ourselves because we really want this spiritual growth and it's really not coming in the time that we want it to come, let me remember what God is trying to create. He's trying to create a spiritually mature person, not a rat. It takes time, and it takes time. Arnold Glasgow said, the key to everything is patience. You get the chicken by waiting for the egg to hatch, not by smashing the egg. Look, God's timing is not your timing. God doesn't want you to be premature. God wants you to grow up and to be fully mature in your faith. Sometimes that means that we have to grow through a time of difficulty in our lives. And there's things that are going to come along in our lives. And sometimes we have to endure those things. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. It says this, troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. Notice that the patient heart is part of God's process to develop your character, develop your life, to develop hope. So when you are in that time where you're trying to grow in your faith, but you feel like you're stalled out, what do you need to do? Here is your response. Partner with God's timing. Partner with God's process. Say, God, I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to recognize that you need to do some work in me. And that's going to take time. And I'm going to submit to that. And I'm going to trust your timing. Two tips on this. This is this. Number one, partner with God's process means that you keep moving in the right direction. Keep moving forward. Don't stop. Keep moving towards what you want to accomplish. By stopping and turning around, it's going to derail that process. And step number two, don't focus on how far you have to go. Focus on where you are now. Focus how far you have come. You see, every once in a while, someone will meet and will ask, what do you do for a living? And I'll tell them that I'm a preacher, and sometimes they look at me kind of funny. My niece one time, when I was preaching in Corinth, Mississippi, it was my first senior ministry, and I just left youth ministry. And she sat there, and I told her, she said, I want to sit next to you today. Well, at that church, we sat up on the stage. And she looked at me and says, well, I'm going to sit next to you. So you have to ask your mom, she says. And the reason that she wanted to sit next to me is that I don't believe you that you're a preacher. I don't believe it. I don't believe that you're even going to get up and preach. And so she sat up there. And sometimes people look at you, and sometimes they look at you and says, really? You go to church? Or really, you're this Christian? And sometimes they look at us and they're surprised. But we have to say, we are moving towards that. That we have failure. We have failings in our lives. And I have failings in my life. And I'm working towards being this mature person, but I haven't attained it yet. And I'm reaching forward and I'm moving towards it. I like what Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything. And that's something we have to work on, and we have to work on it every day. And we need to keep moving towards where we're going. And don't concentrate too much on where you really want to be in the far end, but concentrate where you are right now and how much you have already accomplished. The second thing I want us to see here today is that growing with difficult people. See, I need a patient heart when I'm dealing with difficult people. Let's face it, difficult people are everywhere, all around us. We have to deal with difficult people every day on the roads, at work, at school, at home, even at church. We have difficult people everywhere, and studies have shown that one out of every three people is a difficult person. So this morning, if we want to sit there and we can look at the person on our left, person on our right, one of them is probably a difficult person, and if they're not, then probably you're that difficult person. It's what it is, you know. We're going to come in contact with people that are difficult. Now, we remember our earlier verse. It said, when we are put under pressure, that's when our faith comes to, our life comes to the surface. When we are in these pressure situations, and it seems like some of those pressure situations we're put in is when we are dealing with difficult people. And what's inside really comes to the surface. There's no other situation in our lives that we will come across where what comes to the surface in those times is like when we deal with difficult people. It seems like it's so stressful. And that's when people are around you and they're looking at you and they're seeing that you're a Christian and they're seeing how you act when you are dealing with this certain person. And it seems sometimes people are watching you really close when they know the person that you're facing contact is one of these really difficult people. And they're really hard to love. So how do we respond? Sometimes we don't respond so good when we face difficult people. Let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, it says, a fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back. Barbara Johnson, a best-selling author, wrote this. She said, patience is the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping the gears. If you are a wise person, you hold it back. It's only the fool who vents his anger at everything. One of the most important steps to have patient heart when dealing with difficult people is, and I want you to write this down, when I deal with difficult people, I first must vent up to God before I vent to others. Did you hear that? I vent to God before I vent to others. That is, when you face this difficult person in your life, that you bring it to God and you share it with God. And, you know, even if it's anger and it's frustration and it's things that you think, maybe I shouldn't say these to God. God's a big God. He can take it. He can listen to it. You need to bring it to Him and bring this frustration you have to Him before you try to bring it to someone else. They'll know that you're a Christian by the way that you act. And if we act just like everyone else, what are they going to think about Christianity? We must first vent up to God before we vent to others. Jesus says a patient heart goes beyond enduring difficult people, and it goes on to loving difficult people. Going on to love difficult people. Look at what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus said, I am challenging you. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Jesus goes on to say in this verse, he says, you know, if you only love the people who love you, if you only love the people who are easy to love, you aren't doing anything special. Even the worst people can do that. And if you want to be special, if you want to be extraordinary, it says, learn how to love the most difficult people. Learn how to love your enemies. So how do I do that? How do I love a difficult person? My response should be, see people through God's eyes. To see the difficult people in my life through the eyes of God. See them how God sees them. And when we start seeing people as God sees them, our life is going to start changing. You see, our problem is that we usually attach an isolated event of some action, how someone acted at this one particular time, and then we form an opinion of that person, that person's character. Whatever happened, one time a person will do something inconsiderate or they acted like a jerk on an occasion, and we'll assume that that's the total sum of their character because of this one incident that we had with them. See, I don't know about you, but I don't want people to judge me based on one time the way that I acted. When I had some failing in my life and view my character that I'm that type of person all the time. Now, I don't want to lose value as a person in the eyes of people just because I'm not perfect. Fortunately, God doesn't look us that way. God loves us. God cares for us. He loves us no matter what we do. He understands the hurt and the problems and the pressures that we are under in our life. Sometimes we mess up. And He doesn't stop loving us because we messed up. He keeps loving us in spite of our failures, in spite of the times that we mess up. We should see people that same way. We need to love them, care for them, for their heart, not necessarily for how they acted in one instant. Look at our next verse. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. He says, dear friends, since God loved you that much, we surely ought to love each other. You see, if God can love me unconditionally, with all my faults, and with all the times that I really mess up, I should be able to try to love other people that same way, even difficult people that come in our lives. And number two, I need a patient heart when I'm dealing with difficult people. And number three, we're going to look at here today, grow in experiencing a loss. See, I need a patient heart when I'm experiencing a loss. It's part of the human experience. It's part of living this life. And unfortunately, we're all going to have losses and we're going to have hurts in our life. Many of us experience the loss of a close relationship. Maybe we have had a loss of a marriage or a dating relationship. Many of us have experienced the loss of a dream. That there's something we wanted and we thought we were going to accomplish that. And then one day we realize we're not going to be able to accomplish that. It's gone, and it went up in smoke, and there's nothing we can do about it. Many of us have experienced the most difficult type of loss. It's the most difficult type of loss to deal with this time of year, and that is when we lose a loved one. I want you to listen to me just for a moment. At no other time do we find out more about yourself and more about your faith and what's on the inside than when you go through a difficult loss in your life. It's when you need a patient heart more than any other time. It's when you must know that God has a purpose for what you're going through. In Romans, Paul writes this. He says, And we know God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, I want you to notice what this verse doesn't say. It doesn't say God causes every problem in your life. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that God causes every loss in your life. Just as God did not cause the tragedy that happened at 9/11, God doesn't cause every bad thing that happens in your life. What this verse says is that God does have a purpose for every problem and every loss that happens in your life, whether he caused it or not. God is working in your life in every circumstance. Whether it is a lost relationship, whether it's a lost dream, whether it's a lost loved one, God is working. And God wants to bring new life in these, and new hope and new opportunity in these situations of loss in your life. He wants to give you new relationships. He wants to give you new dreams. He wants you to enjoy your loved ones that you are around, and he wants you to enjoy the new opportunities. So how do I experience hope at a time of loss? Well, you do that when you develop a patient heart, and having a patient heart during a time of loss, it means that you need to do three things. You need to weep, wait, and connect. First, you need to weep. You need to express your emotions. You have lost something, and there's nothing wrong with weeping. When you experience a loss, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry, to be hurt. However, we need not remain there. You have to move on to the second step, and that is waiting. Now, this is the hardest part. This is the part that takes the most patience and requires the most out of our patient heart. But we can't skip the waiting process. It's a cliche, but it's saying something that's true. Time heals all wounds. Shakespeare wrote, "How poor are they who have not patience. What would what wound did ever heal but by degrees?" See, it takes time. When you experience a loss, I would say that it goes away it doesn't go away just like that. You know, it takes time, and we have to be patient. And it may take a couple weeks. It may take months. But once we experience a loss, we must wait, and it takes time. And there's this waiting process. But we can't get so locked up into the weeping and the waiting that we don't move on to that last part. And that is connecting. We need to connect. We need to connect with other Christians and other people. And we need not just get stuck in those first two, that we don't move on to the next one. And that is connecting. And you connect by being around other Christians, other people. And there are some people that can empathize with your loss and can help you and spend time with you. It might be getting involved into a Bible study or a group where there are other people that maybe experience some of the same things you have experienced, and that you get connected. We must not just get stuck into one of those parts. We need to stay connected to God and find a way to get connected even after your loss. Philippians 4:6 says this: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace." God wants to give you peace in the midst of your loss. But we first need to connect to him in prayer. See, but not only must we connect with God, but we must connect with other people as well. We need healthy relationships in our life. We need people in our lives that can help us and encourage us and comfort us and mourn with us and speak to us words into our life that we need to hear. It's easy to get stuck, especially when you go through a loss, to get stuck in that weeping and that waiting, and you really don't want to be around other people. But you need to move to that last step. That's what the patient heart is about in the midst of a loss. Lastly, here this morning, I want us to, we can have this patient, develop this patient heart by sharing my faith. The fourth thing is this, when our faith is forced out into the open, we do that by sharing our faith. You know, as Christians, we are called to share our faith. It is a command that God has given us that we need to share our faith. More than likely, you're a Christian because someone shared the message with you. Maybe it was a preacher, maybe someone at a church service. Maybe it was someone that visited your house or came to visit with you, but they shared their faith with you. And you're a Christian today because someone shared the gospel message with you. Sometimes we wonder, why don't people respond when we share with them? Why don't they come to Christ? When I share the gospel with them, it's so plain, it's so true. So why don't they just accept it right there on the spot? So I wonder that, and why don't they immediately say yes? This is the good news. This is what they've been waiting for. They need to just accept what I have to say. See, this is time when God develops a patient heart in your life. You see, it takes time. And sometimes it takes a long time for someone to understand what the gospel message is saying and that there's a need for it and that they need to accept it. Sometimes you may share with someone and they accept it immediately. Other times it may take 1 year, 2 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. But what we need to understand is that when we're sharing our faith, we're planting seeds, we're sowing seeds. And that you today, you might not be the one that is harvesting that. Maybe it's someone else. But we need to just know that we need to be faithful, that we share with others. Patience is necessary, and that we need to understand that we may not be the one that brings that person to Christ. See, as Christians, we are commanded to share our faith. See, when we have a public faith and we are to let everyone know about it, see, then we are to be patient and let God work in their lives. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "But that is why God had mercy on me, so that Jesus Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even to the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe." See, God had patience on you, and he has patience with other people. Look, I know around the holiday time, it can be especially difficult during this time of Christmas. We're around family members, and we probably are around family members that are not Christians, and they know that you're a Christian, and you probably have shared with them, and sometimes it's difficult because they choose not to accept your faith, and they accept not to follow Christ. But we need to just remember that God just calls us to bring our faith into the open and share where we have opportunities. He doesn't command us that we need to evangelize them at all costs. That doesn't mean we need to take our Bible and beat them down with it. But we need to just share our faith wherever we have opportunities. And sometimes our friends are not going to accept our testimony. And sometimes our families are not going to accept our testimonies and our faith. And sometimes that's difficult to take. But we need to remember, we just plant the seeds and God does the harvesting. We need to remember, if we're going to have this patient heart, number one, when I'm growing in my faith, what do? You need to partner with God. Number two, when you're dealing with difficult people, what do? You see people as God sees them. Number three, when you are experiencing a loss, remember to weep, to wait, and to connect. And number four, when you're sharing your faith, keep praying and keep sharing, learning to trust God's timing, not our own, but God's. Look, sometimes it's easy to give up and say, this life is not worth it. It's just too hard. I just can't do it anymore. It's so easy sometimes to just slip into that and say, this life that God's called me to, it's just so difficult. The pain of loss is just too much. the waiting on someone to accept the gospel message, it's just too difficult. I mean, those people, God, you want me to keep loving these people, even the way they treat me and they talk to me and how difficult they are to be around them. I get so frustrated with myself. One last verse as an encouragement is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says this. So don't get tired of doing what is right. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appointed time. Hope you will decide today to trust God's timing, to depend upon God. This morning we're going to have a time of decision. Maybe there's a decision on your heart here this morning, a decision that you need to make. Maybe today is the day that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and submit your life to Him. The gospel is very clear what you need to do. You need to repent of your sins, confess Him, believe in Him, and have your sins washed away by submitting to baptism. Have your sins washed away through baptism, and have the gift of the Holy Spirit come reside within your life. Maybe there's others this morning that we just need to be more patient. We need to be more patient with people that we come in contact with and just in our lives. Maybe there's others here this morning that, you know, we know that we need to be going in a certain direction. We know what we need to be doing in our lives. We know what God wants from us, but we just need to stay faithful and keep doing the things He's asked us to do. And maybe some here this morning, there's some sin in your life that you need to get rid of. Maybe there's some temptation in your life that you need to push to the side. Whatever it is, we're going to sing a song here this morning. And if you have a decision to make as we sing this song, just come today. Come. If you need to come forward to make that decision here today, come. And let's talk about it and let's pray about it. Maybe there's others here this morning that maybe it's a decision you can make right from where you're standing. But whatever that decision is, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you have a decision to make today, make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.